Let's think for a little bit about being hungry and thirsty. All of us have probably experienced that to varying degrees in our lifetime. And if you can remember one of those times when you were hungry or thirsty, some of you may be hungry right now. Somebody's thirsty, they're taking a drink of water. Gosh, yeah. When we're hungry or thirsty, we think about, oh, what a wonderful food would taste like right now. Oh, I wish I had this, or I wish I had that. And we can almost taste it as we're hungry for it. And the amazing thing about it is as we get hungrier and hungrier and thirstier and thirstier, I was talking to Don about this yesterday. We left Meridian after the singing. We'd taken a bottle of water with us, but it had sat out in the car for 2 hours in the heat, and it was, you know, warm. And so we started back, and I said, "Boy, I'm thirsty." She said, "Well, here's some water right here." I said, "Well, you know, I've been sitting out in the car all day, and it's hot, and it, you know." And so we talked about that. I said, "You know, if I was out in the desert and I knew there wasn't any other water around, that water would probably be pretty good. But when I know that in 30 minutes I'm going to be home, and at home we've got some nice cold water, so I'm just not that thirsty. I'll just wait till we get home and get some of that good cold water." When we get really hungry and really thirsty, just about anything sounds good. Some crackers start to sound, "Oh, I just wish I had a saltine cracker." Just anything. You remember the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, and the Lazarus woke up in torment in the flames. And he said, "Oh, if Lazarus would just go and dip his finger in the water, just drip a drop of water on my tongue." I don't know about you, but when I'm thirsty, one drop of water just doesn't do much. But, you know, he was just in such misery, and he was so thirsty, that even just one drop sounded good. Dawn got me started watching a show called Survivor Man. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that, but this fella gets dropped off in some desert area or some wilderness area away from civilization. He has to live there for a week. And one of the places they dropped him was out in the desert. And he was out in that desert, and there was no water anywhere. And he finally found some water that was about the color of root beer. And he said, "Oh, water." And I thought, "Ugh, I wouldn't drink that." But then I thought, you know, if I'd been out in the desert for 4 or 5 days like he had, maybe I'd be glad to drink that water. And he drank, and of course he boiled it over the fire to boil the germs away, but it was still nasty, dirty-looking water. But he drank it, and he said, "Oh, that's so good." You know, when we're desperate for something, that's when we'll really enjoy it the most. Are you hungry now? Are you thinking about, "Oh, how I wish I could have some roast or maybe a pork chop. I'm about ready to go home and have some." I heard Larry and Leo talking about broccoli and cheese. That cheese melted over that broccoli. And I said, "That sounds good. I hadn't had that in a while." And we think about that, and we get hungry. And we can't stand. How many of you just said, "Well, I was too busy to eat today"? Anybody say, "No, didn't happen"? What about, "Well, I was too busy this week. I forgot to eat all week." Or, "You know I probably should have had something to drink, but I've just been having so much fun for the past 5 days, I just hadn't thought to even pick up anything and drink it." No, we don't. Because our body forces that on us. It's an imperative of life that we've got to eat and we've got to drink something. And we're reminded of that. It is natural. God created us to have a hunger for food and for water. But you know, He also created us to have a hunger for spiritual things. And sadly, many people resist that for spiritual things to the point of starvation. You know, one of the saddest things, I guess, is there are many eating disorders that are disturbing, but anorexia is one of the saddest ones. I remember hearing about I guess her name was Karen Carpenter. It was before my time, I think, or when I was just a little kid and didn't know a whole lot about it. But I know she had that problem where she just wouldn't eat. Now, I don't know how she resisted the hunger urge. I don't know. I don't think I could starve myself to death. I eat too easily. But she actually refused to eat for so long that she starved to death. And some people do that spiritually. They know. They feel the hunger from time to time, the hunger pains. But they just resist it. Throughout history, both secular and in biblical history, there were people who were looking for something. They needed something to worship. And so many times they would worship false gods. But sometimes people wanted to come to the true and living God. So many. In fact, in every society, there is some form of worship where the people worship something. They may worship themselves. They may worship an emperor, like the Japanese did during World War II, and their emperor was their god, or like the Romans in the first century, where the Caesar, he was their god. Or like the Egyptians, and they worshipped Pharaoh as well as many other gods and goddesses. And the Greeks had a whole mountain full of gods that they worshipped. But they're going to worship something. Some worship their ancestors. Others will stand up a rock and worship the rock. Some worship the sun and the moon and the stars up in the sky. They're going to worship something. The children of Israel, in Exodus 32, worship the golden calf. There is the idea that has been put forth that God created us with what has been referred to as a God-shaped hole in our soul that cannot be filled by anything other than Him. And people will try to fill it with any number of things. They may try to fill it with sexual pleasure. They might try to fill it with drugs and alcohol. They might try to fill it with work. They might try to fill it with recreation or entertainment or with things or with some other false god that they worship. They try to fill it with all these things, but it just doesn't work because nothing can fill that hole in our soul but God. In Psalm 42, and verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, as the hart, that's the deer, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist understood this thirst. This desire, a hungering and a thirsting. We need to understand that kind of desire. Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. We need to realize and be filled spiritually. God can fill us. but only if we hunger and thirst. Only if we eat and imbibe of His Word. You know, it's an amazing thing. All the food in the world will never make you fat if you don't eat it. All the drink in the world will never quench your thirst if you don't drink it. And the same thing is true of spiritual matters. If we do not desire, deeply desire, God's Word, and then go after it and get it and take it in, it won't do us any good. We have everything that we need right here in this book, but it's useless to us as long as it's just in the book. It's only good to us when we have it in our hearts and in our minds, rolling off our tongues. There is a natural hunger for the spiritual. Unfortunately, many times what we fill up on is spiritual junk food. Now there are those who just flat out eat the poison that's out there. But most just fill up on junk food. Have you ever eaten so much of that junk food that it made you sick? I think it was my 7th birthday. And my dad had fixed up a nice treasure hunt. And we did the treasure hunt, and the treasure was a big box full of candy. Oh, what a treasure for a 7-year-old. Well, after the party was over, and there was cake, and there was ice cream, and there was candy, and after it was over, and the friends left, I just went in and gobbled up that candy. And I spent the rest of the day sick. Couldn't even get up off the couch except to run to the bathroom ever so often. I was so miserable. And we fill up on that junk food, and it tastes good. And sometimes some of that junk food even has some good ingredients in it. You know, chocolate cake, why, it's got eggs in it. Eggs are good for you. And it's got some flour in it. But you can't live on that. It tastes good for a while, and it's nice for a treat to help supplement, maybe a nice dessert after you've had a good round, a solid meal. But you can't live on that kind of thing. You know, pizza, pizza, you know, it's got the bread, and it's got, you know, sometimes it has onions and peppers and olives. It's got some vegetables on it, and then you got your hamburger or sausage or pepperoni. It's got meat on it, and it's got cheese. So it's got lots of good things on it. But it's also got some things in it that aren't so good for you sometimes. It's got all that fat and all that grease, and those things aren't good for you. There are a lot of things that people put out there, self-help books and all sorts of different things, that tapes and what that people try to follow. And they're really nothing more than spiritual junk food. We need to be aware of those things. While some of them may be useful occasionally, may be good occasionally, we can't live on those. There are a number of books that may have some good things in them, but then they may also have some things that contradict the Bible in them. What good is that going to do us? We don't need that. The best books of this type are the ones that rely heavily on the Scriptures, and then they're not really self-help books at all. They're let God help you books. And those are the ones that can really help us. Those that help us to understand the Scriptures and apply it to our lives, those are the books that will help us. Like chocolate cake, we can't make those our entire diet. We've got to have the Word of God. It's got to be the thing that we feast upon day in and day out. Unfortunately, we often don't feel that spiritual hunger very often. And by the time we feel it, we're starved. And we're so... You ever go, you know, and you had to fast for a test or you know, whatever, you could, or some period of time, and you couldn't eat, and your stomach shrunk, and so the next time you went to eat, you couldn't eat very much. Well, the same thing happens spiritually, where our spiritual hunger, we've starved for so long that then we hear one verse, and we're, oh wow, boy, that's all I can handle. I'm full now. I got that one Bible verse. And we need to feast on God's Word regularly, day in and day out. We need to realize that there is a natural desire. We don't deny our physical hunger. We shouldn't deny our spiritual hunger. We need to eat every day spiritually. And the great thing about it is, if we're eating God's Word, we'll always be healthy spiritually, and we'll never get fat. We'll never get overweight. It won't cause heart disease or cancer or any other malady. It's always good for us. It's healthy. We need to read the Bible and pray and meditate on His Word and find ways to put it into our life each and every day. Not just on the first day of the week. We don't eat that way physically. Why would we eat that way spiritually? And yet sometimes we're happy to do that. We're saying, well, you know, I read a couple of verses the other day. Really? What if you fixed a whole big plate of food and you took a couple of bites and you said, oh, yeah, you know, that's enough for me. I'm going about my... No. We don't do that. We shouldn't do that spiritually. We need to beware of spiritual junk food. We need to always, first and foremost, have a balanced diet from God's Word. And then we'll be able to recognize that spiritual junk food for what it really is. And we'll be able to notice whether it's something that is true to God's Word or not, instead of depending on it. You know, it's a sad thing in our country. As wealthy a land as this is, they say that two things are true of really over half of our young people today. They're overweight and they're undernourished. And we say, well, how could that be? If they're overweight, that means they're eating too much. No, it just means they're eating too much of the wrong things. They can be overweight and yet not be getting the nourishment they need because they're living on the junk. They're eating chips and candy bars and drinking Cokes. And they're dehydrated because they're not drinking water and juice and the natural things that God gave us to take into our bodies. They're not eating vegetables and fruits. They're eating fruit-flavored candy that's artificially flavored. And they're eating, the closest thing to a vegetable they get is a French fry. You know, that's as close as it gets to a real live vegetable. And they're not healthy. And that's why we see 18 and 19-year-old college kids out there. They look healthy. They're out there playing basketball and they drop dead from a heart attack. Why? Because they weren't really healthy. They weren't in good health at all. We need to feast on God's Word spiritually, because the junk food will make us fat spiritually and undernourished spiritually. We'll think we've got it all together, but we won't have any of it together. The other thing that we have to learn to do is to eat what's good, even if we don't want it or we don't like the taste of it. You know, sometimes we just have to take our medicine because it's good for us. The same thing, you know, sometimes I'm not a big salad eating person. But sometimes I force myself to eat a salad because I know that there's healthy stuff in there, that lettuce and the tomatoes, and that's good for me. And so I eat it even though I'd rather have a cheeseburger. I eat the salad anyway because it's the good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And we need to do that spiritually. You know, there may be some subjects that we say, well, I don't really like studying that. Well, we may need to study it. Well, I don't like to think about hell, so I don't really want to study about hell. But we might need to study about hell. We might say, well, you know, I don't like studying about all the things that we're not supposed to do as Christians. Well, we still need to know what things we shouldn't do as Christians. Even though we may not like that, that's part of it. And that's good for us. You know, we've got to choose spiritually to do the things that are healthy for us spiritually. We can do that. It's hard, especially when our emotions are down. We're down in the dumps and we don't feel like doing it. And it's easier, of course, when we're feeling good and things are going well with our Bible study and we're opening up new understanding and we're learning more and we're like, wow, this really is interesting. That's easier then, sure. But we've got to struggle through those times where it's like, I'm not sure, I'm not getting much out of this. Read it again and again. Read some other passages that talk about the same thing and see if there's something in some of them that'll help us understand the other one better. We have to realize that we have to do what's right because it's right, not because it's easy. The path of least resistance is the path that so many times people take. And it's an easy path, but it leads to destruction. We have to let our minds be in charge and do what we know is right even when we don't feel like it. But what we'll find is as we get into God's Word, we'll start to feel like it. We'll start to feel better about it. We find the same thing sometimes when we come together to worship and I find it especially with singing. I come and I say, oh, my voice, and I don't feel like singing tonight. And then we'll get started and we'll get into a couple of songs and before long I've forgotten all about how my voice didn't feel good and my throat was sore or raw or whatever. And I'm just enjoying singing along. The same thing can happen to us with our Bible study. God's given us the desire to eat the spiritual food. We need to eat the right food and we need to eat it every day. Every day. If so, we'll grow spiritually and be satisfied. 1 Peter 2:2 says that as newborn infants, the new Christian is to desire the pure milk of the Word so they may grow by it. But Paul talks about the fact that there are some who need to be able to handle the meat of the Word. You know, sometimes we get frustrated. Well, always the milk, always the milk. This easy. I guess that. Okay, well, move on to something bigger and deeper and harder. Then start chewing up some meat if you think you're ready. But the meatier parts of the Word aren't as easy. They take some courage and some faith to deal with. Some of those things. But Jesus promises us that He'll fill us up if we'll hunger and thirst after His Word. John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one who comes unto me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. He promised the woman at the well that he would give her living water and she would never thirst again. And oh, how excited she was about that. But sometimes we're not very excited about it. We're not even interested. I've got better things to do, or I don't have time for that. I've got to read my magazine or my newspaper, or I've got to watch my television show. I don't have time for that. We need to understand that those books and magazines and television shows, they're not healthy for our soul at all most of the time. Oh, there are some exceptions to the rule. There are some that may be enlightening in some aspect, but most of them, they're worse than the spiritual junk food. They're just downright hazardous material. They're the equivalent of drugs and alcohol and smoking and all those things to the physical body. They're not healthy. They're not helpful at all. If you're here tonight and you haven't been hungering and thirsting after God's Word, you need to start. He will not and cannot fill you unless you come to Him and hunger and thirst after His Word. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.